It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Happy Thursday to each and every one of you. Wishing you each a great day. And today, live with intention, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I so appreciate each and every one of you listening. And producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, people here at Crawford Broadcasting, it's a great group of people that I get to work with. And producer Steve, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, too. You know, I was sitting here listening to the open. We do a different one each day. And I'm thinking, how old is that one where it talks about what we inject into our bodies? Now, I think it was long before, you know, there was the vaccine COVID. For the virus, and maybe even before we knew that the virus was coming. But yet, how timely.
Well, and to that point, Steve, that was made when the vaccine legislation was being presented in 2000 and either 20 or 2019. So let's connect the dots here. There was legislation coming through on forced vaccinations at that time. And so when we look at the radical activists, regressives that have taken over the Democrat Party, you can see they are playing long ball. And unfortunately, we look like we've been playing tiddlywinks on this because they have been playing long ball for quite some time, Steve.
Well, okay, we didn't map this out, and I hope I'm not going to drag you off topic too much, but there's new leadership in the Republican leadership. What have you seen so far?
You know what? I'm still watching. I'm very excited about the women that are now in leadership positions with the Republican Party here in Colorado. And my hope is what I'd really like to see is on candidate recruitment, candidates that are recruited that believe in this conservative idea of limited government, of this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, people that understand what the proper role of government is, and that we recruit those kind of candidates, and then we support them. And starting at school boards, going to city councils, county commissioners, state house, and, of course, our federal offices. So that's really what I want to see.
Okay, well, carry on. Don't let me distract you here. Take you off off track.
We've got a jam-packed show planned for you today. And be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our grassroots independent voice on the air so that we can bring truth and clarity to these issues. We look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Be sure and check out America's Veteran Stories this weekend. Our guests are C.R. Cusack, Tom Jacobs, and Paula Sarles. And we're continuing on with our series, Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. You will not want to miss Sunday's show. It's really important. And they are replaying that from 10 to 11 p.m. on Sunday nights as well, Steve.
Yes. You brought that up yesterday, and I'm sitting here thinking they are. I don't know how I get caught up in these things or miss things like that. But yes, replay Sunday night, 10 o'clock.
And also, thank you to my great sponsors. Hooters Restaurants is one of those great sponsors. The girls were over last night, and I ordered the barbecue shrimp. It was a big hit. And go to my website for all of their specials. They have to go, dine in, all kinds of specials. Kids eat free. But there's five locations, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Colorado Springs. And anyway, it was just great. And the girls really loved it. And hopefully you didn't hear. We live pretty close to each other. And so hopefully we were not too loud.
Well, sometimes it's the noise. Sometimes it's the tear gas.
Yes, that's true. Let's continue on because we do have such a jam-packed show planned for you today. It's our health and hydrocarbon show. And we are seeing that responsible, efficient, reliable, abundant energy helps everyday people thrive and prosper. And with this Harris-Biden administration, we're seeing an assault on, we've seen the assault on the fossil fuels industry here in Colorado, certainly legislation, rules, regulations, all kinds of things like that. That's why we think it's important that we stop and pause and realize and are grateful for the energy that fossil fuels gives to us, because we do have healthier lives. So we'll talk with Bob Boswell. He is the chairman and CEO of Laramie Energy. And we'll talk with him in the third and fourth segment. Before we do that, though, our quote for today is John D. Rockefeller. And he was born in 1839. He died in 1937. He was an American businessman and philanthropist. He was widely considered the wealthiest American of all time at that time and the richest person in modern history. Now, this, I think, might have been written before Jeff Bezos really got Amazon rocking and rolling. But anyway, Rockefeller was born into a large family in upstate New York, and eventually he settled in Cleveland, Ohio. He became an assistant bookkeeper at age 16 and went into several business partnerships before the age of 20, concentrating his business on oil refining. He founded the Standard Oil Company in 1870. He ran it until 1897 and remained its largest shareholder. And this is what he said: "The common denominator for success is work." In this day and age where we're separating money, earning money from work, and just giving it away, you can see that we're not in a good spot there, Steve.
You know, I'm showing my age here, but in the 60s, there was a TV show called Time Tunnel. And you could grab the Time Tunnel right now and bring John D. Rockefeller into this day and age right here and just let him have a look around, see what government's up to. I heard two different reports in the last several days about the restaurant industry overall struggling. Not so much, obviously, there's people coming back, but what they don't have is staff. And the staff is basically staying home so that I can make equal or better money staying home than I can working, washing dishes or whatever.
Right. And so that we've gotten the incentives all wrong. And so you can make more money sitting home instead of working. And you lose a couple of things. First of all, the dignity of work. And then secondly, you lose the economy. I was at a restaurant recently, and you could just tell that they were short-staffed. They were doing the best they could, but you know, it's very difficult when you don't have employees that are showing up. But we've got a late-breaking guest for you, and it's Chuck Bonnewell. You know him. He's the host of the Chuck and Julie podcast, and we've got a very important announcement that is going to happen today, and Chuck said he'd like to come on and talk about that. Chuck Bonnewell, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim.
There's going to be a lot happening up in Boulder today, correct?
Yes, there is going to be. There's going to be a press conference outside of the law school or nearby the law school, in which John Eastman is going to announce that a notice has been provided to the university as required by law of the basis for claims against the university. There's going to be representatives from the Claremont Institute. There's going to be a representative from the American Association of University Professors to really highlight the incredible disservice the university has done to John Eastman. He was supposed to be their lecturer at the Benson Center, and instead, because he represented President Trump, they made sure that he could not fulfill any of those functions.
Why now, Chuck? Why is he having this press conference now?
Well, it's the last day of teaching he was supposed to teach, as well as the fact that his wife has been teaching at CU, and it's also her last day. So it's an appropriate time to point to the university that legal action can be contemplated on his behalf in a federal lawsuit.
And what is he contending?
He's contending three things: breach of contract, due to the fact that he was hired to do all these various tasks and they prevented him from doing any of it, because they acknowledge he has a First Amendment right they said, well, we can't fire you, but we'll just make sure that you have no resources to do anything. They constantly defamed him in letters to students and to faculty. And moreover, they really violated his First Amendment rights of free speech, which they acknowledge he has, at least purportedly has. And so that brings a was called a Section 1983 action for violation of protected rights, particularly the First Amendment. And so those will be the general basis for the notice.
Do you think that, it's a subjective question on this, Chuck, do you think the university is surprised that this is going to happen?
No. I think they knew what they were doing. They gave him his salary so they could try to claim that hadn't been adverse employment action. But all the other things they did, including attempting to destroy his reputation, destroy his ability to teach anywhere else, they were well aware that was probably going to be the action that virtually almost anybody in the same situation would take.
It looks to me like we don't have freedom of thought and freedom of speech on many of our college universities. And I really think that people that endow these our colleges and universities, I think we need to reassess that. When we put so much money into our Colorado budget for education, I think we need to rethink that, because it looks to me like kids are only getting one side of a story, and certainly we see this with John Eastman. So I think this is a very important action today, Chuck Bonnewell. What's your final thought about what's going to happen later today?
I absolutely agree with you. There's virtually no conservative thought at CU. The Benson Center is supposed to be one place in which conservatives would at least be able to discuss the topics of the day, and instead they squash it. That's not an education. That's an indoctrination.
And I would really question people going into significant debt to get an education when, in essence, right now it's an indoctrination. Chuck, I know that you and Julie have a podcast. How can people tune into that?
Oh, thank you very much. Just go to chuckandjulie.com, and all our shows are up there. We do a live call-in as well as Zoom Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, 3 to 4. But you can pick it up anytime by just going to chuckandjulie.com.
Chuck Bonnewell, I so appreciate you coming on and giving us the information about what's going to be happening today up at CU Boulder. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Take care.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Andy Berger is going to be on the show. She is the founder of Voices Against Trafficking, and this is Child Abuse Awareness Month, and she's got some tips on what we can do to keep our children safe from creeps. So stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute at the website to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, searching for truth and clarity. On the line with me is Andy Berger. She's the founder of Beulah's Place, as well as Voices Against Trafficking. She is a survivor of sex trafficking, and she is doing amazing work. But this is a very important month. Andy Berger, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. It's always good to be with you and your listeners.
Well, and you actually, you just get a prize because you get up early to make sure that you do this show, and I so appreciate that. But this is a big month, and tell us what April is now for fighting against child abuse.
Absolutely. April is Child Abuse Awareness Month. There are a lot of organizations and groups, you know, trying to keep the, not just the awareness, but education going about this. We know that there has been huge spikes as a result of, you know, lockdowns and COVID and all these different things. And so our children are more at risk than ever before.
Well, and there's all kinds of different abuse. But when Victoria sent over the information, you said you've got some tips to protect our children from creeps. And I said that when we going into the break, and Steve said, did you just say creeps? And it's like, you know, we have not used that word for a long time, but it is really creepy what some people are doing or thinking about doing to children.
Absolutely. And it's so unnecessary. And like I said, we have unprecedented numbers. So, that, you know, there's probably like, you know, a list of 30 things, but I wanted to talk about a couple of them. First off, you know, we teach kids about, you know, say no to drugs or don't do drugs or don't drink and drive. We talk to them about, you know, sex education, whether we want them to or not in school. But we don't teach children that they have a right to not be hurt, that they have a right to be safe. And we need to teach children their rights from a very early age, you know, preschool on up, as parents, as guardians, as aunts and uncles, you know, all of that. Because when they're taught that they are unique, they're valuable, special, and they have that right, they're less likely to think it's okay, one, to be abused, or two, that it's their fault, you know, which I thought for, you know, two decades pretty much until I got some help. And they're more likely, Kim, to report an offender if they know this. And so we encourage people to learn correct reporting procedures at their local law enforcement, you know, office. Another thing is, please think more of your children than you do of your own needs. I can't tell you how many of the kids we've rescued, how many stories were, well, mom brought a new boyfriend home and he didn't, you know, like the daughter or the son and beat him up and or whatever it was, or just all the dysfunction we have right now in what we call a family unit. And in cases of familial trafficking, you know, if you know a family member who is abusing a child, it's critical to report them. Because the majority of familial abuse is rarely reported. And because it's a family member, a lot of times that birth or that bloodline protects them. You know, oh, it was a misunderstanding. Oh, you know, don't believe my child, that kind of thing. So we want to make sure that see something, say something. Hear something, say something. Don't let your embarrassment mean that a child will continue to be abused. So those are a couple of things.
We have such a responsibility, Andy, to protect our children. And what I see in our society now, you mentioned just a little something about sex education. Out here in Colorado, mm-hmm. we have legislation that was passed a few years ago. It's a sex ed legislation bill, which actually requires by law that sexual acts be explain to children at a very young age. And as I've really thought about this, this in a way is almost like society is grooming children and also adults for hurting children this way. And I hadn't really thought about it until you and I started to have these conversations, that sex education, putting things and images in children's minds that they never would have been thinking about, in a way, I think is grooming them.
I would agree, because that's the truth. When we desensitize a child, or rather desensitize what we see as the value of a child, and we say, well, you know what, let's just teach them about, you know, sex and intimacy. I actually had a teacher say that. I'm like, what does an 8-year-old know about, you know, intimacy? They're not asking for that. We're forcing it on them. So then when they are abused, or when somebody comes into the bedroom or, you know, the back of a building or wherever, and they do these things to this child's thinking, well, let's see, I was taught about this, so I guess it's okay. And mm-hmm. it's never okay. And if a child struggles or suddenly panics, that's when a lot of violence happens. We know that in this country, Kim, minimum five children die a day just from child abuse, and 80% of those that die are under the age of 5.
Oh my gosh. Well, Andy, you are a survivor of family member trafficking you, And you, the work that you are doing now is absolutely amazing. Tell us about this new organization, this group of, that you're putting together on Voices Against Trafficking.
Absolutely. And we're so proud to have you as one of our supporters and members, Kim, because right now every voice is critical. Voices Against Trafficking, that was designed to collectively bring as many voices, whether they're individuals, they're nonprofits, they're businesses, they're media members, they're whoever. We want as many voices as possible to help us eradicate human trafficking and to protect human rights. You know, let us all be advocates together, because together we can do more, whether it's influencing, you know, legislation. You know, there's a, I believe it's Arizona passing a law that child abusers will get life imprisonment. You know, that's awesome. Let's all do that, right? So we're advocating, you know, for stronger penalties, but for the rights of these victims, especially the little ones that have no one to protect themselves. So we put on forums every quarter. They're virtual. Anyone can watch them. And we bring people from all over the world, not just the U.S., to talk about what can we do? What's working? What's not working? You know, how bad is it really? What's happening on the border? You know, those kinds of things. So we want to get specialized care for victims, you know, of trafficking. There's not enough mental health services or resources for the victims. So we're basically leading the outcry for, you know, the vigorous prosecution of predators and also the persistent, unrelenting pursuit of victims in need of our care and of our rehabilitation and our resources.
Andy Berger, do you feel that there is an awakening in our society? We've moved culturally, I think, to a point where we've normalized things that really I don't think should be normalized. And I feel like there is an awakening. What about you? What's your thoughts?
I do believe that there is. We're making progress. We need a lot of progress, you know, the last 3 years. And I hope the current administration will get on board with this issue. But for the rest of us, everyday people here, we want to make sure that we can encourage our children to talk about these things, to explain, you know, this kind of behavior, and also that we act on what we know. We're creating the awareness. We're educating. We're doing our best, because we know every 40 seconds a child in this country is abducted, Kim, and that's everyone's town. Every 40 seconds a kid goes missing by abduction. That means they're being taken, and they're being taken to be sold, to be used, to be tortured, to be violated. And as a united nation, we should be standing up in a major outcry. So we need to do more. We're making progress, but now it's the time to get everyone who's listening to act and become a voice with us.
And what is the website for Voices Against Trafficking?
VoicesAgainstTrafficking.com. If listeners go to VoicesAgainstTrafficking.com, they'll find helplines and hotlines. You know, whether you're a victim or you think someone's being abused, there are helplines and hotlines there. If you're a little out of control, overstressed, you think maybe you need help, you can also find a help or hotline there as well. So VoicesAgainstTrafficking.com. Look those up. Put them in your phone. Put them in your child's phone. You know, give it to your teenagers and your college students so they always have a way to reach out to a neutral, safe party when they're in trouble.
Andy Berger, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And again, thank you for coming on. This is Child Abuse Awareness Month. And, you know, stay in touch, because the work that you're doing is so important. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
And Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. We've got quite the show planned today. I think you probably heard in the first segment regarding there's going to be a big announcement up in Boulder from John Eastman, who was canceled by both CU Boulder as well as Chapman University. And I'm excited about this, because we have got to make sure that we assure that we have free speech in this country, Jason.
Well, yeah, if you can't have your voice heard, it doesn't matter what you know, it doesn't matter what you believe, and to some degree, it doesn't even matter if you're right or wrong, Kim, if there's no way to get your message out effectively, or at all, for that matter, in some cases.
And that's why freedom of speech, the founders realized that that was just inherent to the American idea. And another thing that is inherent to the American idea is to pursue your happiness, pursue the opportunity to thrive and prosper, to have your own economy, this big, broad middle class that we have. And that's where you come in, Jason, because you help people with their own personal economy.
Well, Kim, and I think that starts with a good plan, a good thorough plan. I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of them in the past that you go, it's like a 200-page thing, Kim, that just repeats the same information over and over and over. I mean, you get it in a bar chart, a line chart, a pie chart, tables, graphs of all kind, and when you really go into it, there's very, very little to it. When I put together a plan for folks, you know, I'm looking very closely at inflation rates, at health care costs, at their debts, when they'll be paid off. I really try to dig down and figure out what their actual spending will be in retirement, and that's for basics, for fun stuff and everything else. And I think you really have to be thorough and you have to be accurate, because if these numbers are off before you retire, well, how far are they going to be off maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the road when you actually do? It's kind of like the old saying, if you're off by 1 degree down here on Earth, you're going to miss the moon by a million miles.
And that is why people should sit down with you, do a discovery session. There's no pressure. There's no cost. How can people reach you, Jason McBride?
Best way, Kim, is just call and make an appointment. That's 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Kim, you said the key words, that there's no high pressure. There's no obligation. You know, we don't lock the doors there and make people feel guilty or try to scare the heck out of you to have you try and do business with us. We'll just put together the plan. If you like it, maybe we'll work together. Hopefully we will. But again, you're not going to get beaten over the head or high pressured.
Okay. Jason McBride, thank you so much. That number is 303-694-1600. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good show, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Karen Levine and then Bob Boswell.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice out there on the air as we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. One of those great partners, and you just heard her radio spot, is Karen Levine. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. We have been friends for years and years and years. And Karen Levine, just really wanted to mention something. I saw you yesterday, and the big meeting for the National Board of Realtors is this next week or so, and you are really a champion for the opportunity for people to own their own homes, and it's going to be a big meeting, correct?
It is. It's our legislative meetings. They happen annually, generally in Washington, but we've done them virtually last year, and we'll do them virtually again this year. They run for 2 weeks. Normally in person, they run for a week, but they're important meetings. We discuss the private property landscape in Washington and what's going on and how do we continue to protect those rights. And I think there's going to be some strong discussions, I hope.
Well, and one of the reasons is because it's somewhat unknown. But in the infrastructure bill, or what's he calling that, the America's Jobs Bill, embedded in there is a paragraph that basically would take single-family zoning of our communities and put it in the hands of the federal government, the Harris-Biden administration. And that is not a good idea, and I know you're going to be bringing that to people's attention.
Yes, that's my goal, is to have those conversations, make people aware. Zoning has always been something that is handled locally, and you handle locally because we're creating communities. And if the federal government takes over that responsibility, the communities that really have built America, the suburban communities, will become non-existent. And I don't think people are aware of that risk out there.
Okay. Well, Karen Levine, the work that you're doing to protect private property rights is so important. I know inventory is tight, but you are out there helping people successfully sell and buy their homes. How can people reach you?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516. And we're seeing inventory, new inventory coming on the market each and every day. This is really the strong spring selling season. So I would encourage people, if they are seeking home ownership, to give me a call.
And again, that number is 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thank you for your hard work, for your friendship, and your sponsorship.
Thank you, Kim, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great. And let's jump over here. Today is our Health and Hydrocarbons show. And we have taken it for granted, but abundant and reliable, efficient energy and responsible energy helps us power our everyday lives. And it helps us be healthier as well. And one of my great partners is Bob Boswell with Laramie Energy, and wanted to talk with him today about the energy markets. And actually, something wild happened last week. There was a gas shortage in Las Vegas, and that's inconvenient. Bob Boswell, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's good to be with you.
Bob, I think Americans have taken our energy, our reliable, efficient, abundant energy for granted. And when we saw the headline that there were gas shortages in Las Vegas, I realized just how inconvenient that is. All of a sudden, when you can't go in and gas your car up and go where you want to, when you want to, maybe it's taking the kids to practice or going to work or going on a trip. All of a sudden, people, I think, start to appreciate fossil fuels because they've taken it for granted for so long.
Well, I think we're starting to see the fallacies of the all renewables movement. It's been manifesting itself in what's happening in California, where I think they have some 25 to 30% of their power on renewables. They've had electricity prices 55% higher than the national average, and rolling brownouts. They also get about somewhere in the 25 to 30% of their electricity out of Utah, which are predominantly coal-fired plants. We're also seeing it in Colorado. I'm not sure if people are aware, but Xcel's announced that they're paying some $41 million to buy out a contract they have with the solar producer because it's uneconomic. There's also a lawsuit that's being initiated against Xcel saying, we don't want that $41 million to go into the rate base. It should come out of the corporate pockets. I don't know if you saw recently that Vestas closing their wind turbine plants in Colorado, laying off several hundred people. So the notion that's been expressed by John Kerry that you'll go from fossil fuel jobs into clean energy jobs is just a fallacy. And if you look at the compensation in the clean energy or renewables sector, it's significantly lower than that in the fossil fuels. And the reality of it is that these renewables will never replace fossil fuels. There's no technology existing today on batteries that would allow sufficient backup for reliability. We saw in the Texas cold front where the power was shut off and they lost electricity that the renewables were all down, and they're backed up by gas-fired plants. But the gas-fired plants, because of concerns about CO2, were not, the engines were not powered by gas as a fuel. They were powered by electricity. And when the electricity went out, the compressors wouldn't work. So there's a lot of things that are occurring that we're seeing naturally that shows the fallacies of what's been advocated by the renewables sector. People need to understand that wind and power do generate electricity, but they're supplements. They're not replacements. And there's no technology today on the horizon that would give sufficient battery support or backup of the scale that's needed to create a reliable renewable energy from solar and wind infrastructure.
Well, and I'm trying to find the headline here that Patty had on the headlines today, and I think John Kerry basically said that we need to almost get rid of CO2. I'm trying to find that, but it struck me as like, honestly, I thought that I thought that plants needed CO2 to survive. Right?
Well, John Kerry has said a lot of things that are suspect. I mean, it just shows his ignorance. All living matter is made out of carbon. Photosynthesis is the absorption of CO2, and it converts it into plants and oxygen. So it's an important part of our ecosystem. It is true that CO2, as the Earth is, as the population has grown and as undeveloped countries are starting to develop, that there's been an increase in CO2. But the fact is that CO2 is essential to life. Less than 100 parts per million, you die. At 1,000 parts, we're at optimal for plant life. Today, we're at 400 parts per million, so we have a ways to go. And the other element is that the CO2, the production of it as it relates to the atmosphere, is limited. It's not linear. It's asymptotic. So probably the maximum temperature that the Earth could rise because of CO2 is maybe 2%. So a lot of these, the Earth is going to die. Doomsday scenarios are put in place to create fear in the public and to get certain policies in place, which are more orientated towards power than it is towards practical applications of our existing technologies. Nuclear is another technology that we should be promoting. It's reliable. It's cost-effective. And modern technology on some of these smaller-scale nuclear plants, it could be a very important source of energy going forward.
Well, and Bob Boswell, we need to have honest conversations about all of this. When they talk about clean energy, certainly that has a favorable connotation to it. But it implies then on the other side that the other energy is dirty. And we need to continue to take back the narrative on so many of these different words, because an honest conversation about quote-unquote clean energy, they don't talk about the rare earth minerals that have to be mined, that goes into these batteries. They don't talk about the fact that most of that is being controlled by China now. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we are using public policy to push us towards something that's going to make our energy sources more dependent on China. And with what you mentioned in Texas, people realize that, hey, energy really does help us live our lives. It helps us heat our homes, cool our homes, keep our refrigerators going, and plus all the products, almost everything we have in modern life has some kind of a petroleum-based product in it. And then we don't talk about how do we dispose of these batteries. There's something unclean about what we're going to do with that. Also, I had a listener that had reached out to me and asked me to come up to northern Colorado, and we went out. I was kind of out on dirt roads, and there was, I think it was Excel. I shouldn't say that. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, they were taking down a bunch of wind turbines. The debris and the what they were going to do with those wind turbines, that has to be addressed. So there's not an honest conversation going on about that, as there's this public policy to try to push for pushing towards quote-unquote renewables, clean energy, that is, we're seeing it, it's unreliable and it's more expensive, Bob.
Well, I, you know, part of the hypocrisy is on lithium batteries and the having 100% electrical cars. I don't know if most people are aware, but each battery in an electrical car uses about 1,000 pounds of lithium. And to get 1,000 pounds of lithium, you have to mine about 500,000 pounds of earth. The U.S. government has said that they're going to take their 684,000 vehicles and make them electrical vehicles. Well, if you do the simple math on that, 684,000 automobiles at 1,000 pounds, well, that's 684 million pounds of lithium. If you have to move 500,000 tons of earth, that's over 3 trillion tons of earth. The electrification of the entire automobile and truck transportation sector in the U.S. It will not happen, simply because there's not enough resource or capital to cause that to occur using current technology. So we've got all these aspirations which are not based upon reality, and unfortunately, we're not having the conversation we need at the national level to the degree it should be, simply because a lot of the media outlets won't cover it, or they have a political bias without an understanding of the science behind energy and physics of energy, energy density. So it's a conversation, as you said, Kim, that needs to be held, but we've got to have forums for doing that, and forums that don't censor the facts.
Not censoring the facts is very important. We're going to go to break here, Bob, in just a moment, but I did find the headline. This was from sarahcarter.com, and this was on April 22nd, and this was the first paragraph. It says, John Kerry, President Joe Biden's climate czar, during the World Leaders Virtual Climate Summit on Thursday, talked about how getting carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere will be critical in combating climate change, even if the United States achieves net zero greenhouse gas emissions. Again, we just talked about it. Carbon is essential, and carbon is important for plants. And here we have John Kerry out there at this meeting talking about this. Your comment on that before we go to break, Bob.
Well, again, I think it displays his ignorance that we're going to get, we can reduce the amount of carbon dioxide. But if you look at the U.S., we've done that. The biggest producer of greenhouse gases is China. They're at 30% of the world, and they have, between they and India, they have 288 some coal-fired plants on the drawing board. So those are, you know, much more carbon dioxide than a natural gas would. So, you know, what Kerry is saying is not going to occur. The best we can do is to probably reduce it, but it's not going. We're going to need to use fossil fuels to maintain the quality of life and the affordability of energy for the world citizens.
And we'll talk about that when we come back, how people, when they have this reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy, that frees them up to be able to do other things. And people in third world countries, they want that. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another great partner of mine is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. I got this great little utility knife and they for the house, and they actually had, I think, six different colors. So I got it in orange so that I can see it in the junk drawer when I'm going through that, trying to find what I need to do when I need that particular knife. But whether or not you are a collector or a chef or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. Military personnel, veterans, and first responders all get a discount all day long, every day long at Castlegate. So check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We will be right back with Bob Boswell. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And have on the line with us one of our great partners, and that is Bob Boswell. He is the CEO, chairman of, chairman and CEO, there I got it, of Laramie Energy. And we're talking about how our hydrocarbons really help us live thriving, prosperous lives. And people in third world countries, once they start to have reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy, it frees them up to do other things. Many women in third world countries, Bob Boswell, spend their days basically just trying to gather water, get clean water, and fuel, firewood or whatever, to be able to cook, to heat their homes. And that takes a lot of time. And they really appreciate or would appreciate the kind of energy that we have here in America, Bob.
Well, you know, that's absolutely true. And as the world develops, there's going to be more and more demand for clean, reliable, affordable energy. And the best form of that, frankly, is natural gas. So I expect there'll be an increasing demand for natural gas. And if you look at, you know, in the U.S., we're blessed, and it affects all people in the economic spectrum. We pay about an average of 10 cents per kilowatt. In Europe, they're paying 29 to 30 cents simply because they've gone more towards the renewables, which they are now finding have their own issues. So we're blessed here in the U.S. to have this resource. It varies from state to state, but the country has this, and it allows our citizens to have a better quality of life. And that's what we aspire for other people in underdeveloped countries. And we need to be able to enable people to use this lowest cost, most reliable, most affordable, and cleanest form of energy, natural gas.
Well, and Bob Boswell, I just was on a road trip on the southwestern the United States, and driving into a gas station and being able to fuel my car takes maybe 5 minutes and I'm back on the road. I think people take that for granted. Now, I know that regarding electric powered cars, that they're trying to improve the time that it takes to charge a battery, but it takes significant more time to charge a battery than to just go in and fuel your car up and then get back on the road. And I think people take that for granted.
Well, I think people do. And this will become more apparent. The federal government's putting an initiative to put 500,000 fueling stations in. The taxpayers are going to pay for that. It will help a limited number of electrical vehicles. More importantly, the big transport, they can't go on electrical power without massive batteries that increase the weight of the big transport vehicles. So it's going to have very limited effect at great cost. But it's, you know, it's a ideology that it's being promoted predominantly by the left that it's not based on fact and science, but aspirations.
A question, is an electric car heavier than just a gas-powered car?
With the, you know, the batteries alone weigh 1,000 pounds. I mean, there's different materials they can use in the automobiles to lower the overall weight. And I suspect that they can design, you know, cars made out of fiberglass and other elements which are produced from petroleum to lower the weight. But I'm not sure that they can get it under kind of your average personal vehicle.
Well, and I'm just thinking about this. First of all, think about the additional wear and tear on the road. And so we're going to have construction costs, maintenance costs on our highways and our bridges. But then also, if they're reducing the weight by making the bodies out of fiberglass, if you're in an accident, I kind of like having maybe something more than fiberglass around me. I hadn't really thought about this until you just mentioned this, Bob.
Yeah. Well, that's an important consideration, safety.
Most definitely. So, hey, Bob, we've got just a few minutes left and did want to talk about the energy markets. And somebody, when I was doing one of these shows, had said that it used to be for our oil and gas producers that the real risk had been whether or not you would drill a hole searching for oil or gas and it would come up dry. But now what we see is public policy that has really been a risk to the industry. And, you know, what we see here happening in Colorado, I really think Colorado is the petri dish for all of these rules and regulations and policies that then they try to roll out to other states. And so that's why we need to keep laser focus on what is happening here in Colorado. What are you seeing? What's the current climate here regarding our energy markets and what's happening in Colorado?
Well, there's a sustainable movement to increase regulations. And, you know, and some are helpful. Some put a focus on things that need to be addressed. Others are just duplicates. Others are punitive. What we've seen, unfortunately, in the government is that while the leadership may have certain goals that relates to clean energy and those sorts of things, that some of the people in the bowels of the government, have a very anti approach towards the use of fossil fuels, and that's created some real challenges in terms of some of the regulations and policies that are being put forward. That's increasing costs to the industry, and those costs generally pass on to the consumer. So we need to have an imbalance, and we want to have the cleanest fuel in the country. So we want to work hand in hand with our state government. One of the issues, though, that we're facing is the federal government, and they've put a moratorium on on permitting, which they are in theory releasing, but they've also put a moratorium on the leasing of federal lands. In the West, the biggest percentage of our lands are at least 40 to 50% of our lands are federal lands. So they're really restricting potential resource development on lands that are most of which are federal and not in high population areas. So it's misguided policy.
And these policies, when I think about just everyday people here in America and all of the products that have petroleum based in them, I mean, many of our garments have polyester. I mean, there's so many different things, our cell phones, our eyeglasses, skis, all kinds of things that we use every day. People don't realize that they come to us and they're affordable. And they function because of petroleum-based products. And that's one of the reasons why we do this show, Bob. We do this once a month is so that people can stop and think about this and be grateful for what we have. And we need to have public policy that works hand-in-hand with certainly responsible being stewards of our earth, but also being stewards of the prosperity and the flourishing of humans as well, Bob.
Well, that's a critical issue. And, you know, by way of example, most of these renewable projects have to be subsidized by taxes. So people are paying for it in two ways, not only with the cost associated with these new plants that, and the taxes associated with them, but also in higher land prices, you know, or higher energy prices. As an example, a 500 megawatt renewable plant, either wind or solar, takes up, or a wind takes up about 100,000 acres, and it only runs 35% of the time, and it will only supply about 150,000 homes. You can replace that with a combined cycle natural gas fired plant on 15 acres and supply over 300,000 homes with about 85% reliability. So there's a big difference in what we have today and what they're proposing, and the costs that will be laid off on the consumer.
Well, Bob Boswell, I so appreciate what you are doing. I appreciate your partnership as well. And again, I appreciate abundant, affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. Thank you so much, Bob Boswell, for joining us today.
Thank you, Kim. Take care.
And our quote for today is, I always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity. And that's John D. Rockefeller. And he says, and today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well. Live honestly, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. I don't want to cry.